I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Ron Landis. The late Patty Fink is extremely late this week. She'll be here next week. Our guests today are Jason Hanna and Joe Riggs. They put together the Teddy Bear Party, and this next week is going to be the 7th annual Teddy Bear Party, and it's moved to the Hall of State. This has gone big time.
Yep.
And this year we need to collect at least twice as many teddy bears as we did last time. This party's a lot of fun. It collects money for several different equality organizations and then Teddy Bears for Children's Hospital. I know it started with something that you did, Jason.
Correct.
Or a reason that has to do with you.
Yeah. The very first teddy bear party, it was my third annual Christmas party that I was planning. And going into the planning of that event, my mom had just gotten diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And so in honor of the battle that she was just beginning, she loved kids. And so I decided to do a teddy bear drive in her honor. And so the first annual teddy bear party was a teddy bear drive since she was battling cancer. And all those teddy bears for the first time were donated to Children's Hospital.
Why do they need these teddy bears? It sounds like a silly thing, but it's huge for them.
It is huge.
It is.
My daughter was in Children's Hospital, just for somebody who's been a part of that. Those kids light up when they're sick. They see a nice stuffed animal or a teddy bear being brought to them during Christmas. It's an awesome thing.
Yeah, and they're used as not just they're a comfort tool, but they're also for an actual teaching tool. So, for example, if a child breaks their arm, they'll actually put a cast on that teddy bear to show the child, this is exactly what's going to be done to you.
Oh, that's awesome.
They'll put an IV in a teddy bear. So it's a great teaching tool, so it's comfort and teaching. So it's really a really functional functional gift, too.
Now, the part of the party that's a lot of fun is after the party.
Yeah, so the following Sunday morning, we have probably 15 to 25, maybe up to 30 people, and we all meet back at the venue, and it's all volunteers, and anybody that wants to come, like, meet back at the venue. We count all the teddy bears, we load them up in a big U-Haul, and we all caravan to Children's, and one of the hospital administrator comes out, welcomes the group, and then accepts all the teddy bears, and then she gives an overview of how these teddy bears truly impact the lives of the children going through their hospital.
But bringing the teddy bears into the hospital, and I did it last year, was a lot of fun. We brought the teddy bears in, and as I'm carrying an armload of teddy bears, a little kid came over to me and said, oh, can I have one? So I just kind of snuck one out of my pile and handed it to her. Well, it's a kid who's in the hospital.
Right, exactly. We're going to say no.
No, I can't give you a teddy bear, kid. Go away. So we collected all of them and brought them down to this, what is a meeting room, I guess, but there's this big staircase going from the ground floor down to this meeting room, and the pile of teddy bears went up to the second floor. It was just wonderful to see that many.
And you'd be surprised, those teddy bears do get used, all of them. How many did you say they go through a month?
So Children's, they say they go through approximately 3,000 teddy bears per month.
That's a lot of bears.
It's a lot of bears.
It's a lot of sick kids.
A lot of children.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it represents. These kids, we heard several stories from the administrators last year about some of these kids who they had their teddy bear with them when they were going through chemotherapy. They had their teddy bear with them when they're going for an MRI. And an MRI is one of those things, I couldn't do it because I get so claustrophobic. But for a kid who, something happened to, that's frightening. You have the teddy bear to right. clutch. So it really is, like you said, a comfort thing for them.
Last year we had, if you recall, a family actually get up and speak. And I think their son was 6 or 7, and he had a brain tumor. and he had gone through Children's for the surgery and the treatment, and he got a teddy bear while he was going through, and now he is a functional child in regular school, but awesome. He takes that teddy bear with him wherever he goes. Mm-hmm. So it really has had a significant awesome. Impact on his life.
Yeah. So we need twice as many teddy bears as last year because they're not getting enough from donations that the hospital is still buying them. And I hate to say it's a waste of money. It's not a waste of money at all, but they could be using their money for better things. And it's real easy for us to get teddy bears. So last year, you know, we've talked about several things that we've done through the Brian Fund, which we started after my husband Brian died. And Brian got an award from Black Tie Dinner for his volunteering. And I keep running into different things that I completely forgot about when we made the video. And I forgot about this one. So we went to Walgreens the night before the party and started shopping for teddy bears. And so we filled one shopping cart, we filled the second shopping cart, and Brian's like, but there is still more on the shelf. And I said, you realize we have to pay for all of this?
Right.
He said, yeah, but what if a kid doesn't get a teddy bear because we didn't buy it and there was one available and it was on the shelf? Oh. So I'm doing my own collecting tomorrow. By the way, Josh, we have a board meeting tomorrow.
Yes.
I'll need some funds approved.
You're highlighting another problem that happens, is that every year it becomes difficult to find teddy bears in the Dallas Metroplex because people are buying them for this event.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good problem to have.
It is a great problem. So, and I think this year they specified 24-inch teddy bears because we were getting some huge ones, which were a lot of fun, of course.
Right,
good,
right.
Great visual statement at the party to carry a life-size teddy bear.
Right.
But not the most practical for the kids.
So right, because the kid is 3 feet high.
Some of those bears are bigger than the kids. Yeah,
and exactly. There were a couple that we got last year that were 6 feet high.
Wow.
You know, a little kid can't carry that around, especially one that's sick. But there are plenty that are right within range and they're good price, and I brought one in that I got yesterday. And, you know, those are perfect. It's like a...
That is a perfect size.
Yeah, it's like a 24-inch. Yeah.
So, let's go ahead and put it out there. For anybody who wants to donate a teddy bear, who do they call? Website?
So they can actually we have a Facebook page which people can go to directly, and those messages come directly to myself and to Joe. Or we have a website as well, which is www.teddybearparty.org, and that also has donation information on there as well.
Yeah, good. And you need money also because money is going to a variety of beneficiaries that do equality type work.
Correct. And so the teddy bears all go to Children's Hospital. Now, the monetary donation we split between a handful of beneficiaries that have been selected and ones that we've added over the years as well. Equality Texas, Family Equality Council, the Trevor Project, Rainbow Roundup, as well as Stand Up to Cancer are all our monetary beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm. Good. And all of these do things that affect children. Family Equality Council and Rainbow Roundup. Talk about what those do.
Do you want to take it?
Sure. We'll talk with... Well, so Rainbow Roundup is an organization located in North Dallas that they basically create events and, I guess, various events so to bring families together, LGBT, focus on LGBT families. So a good example is that we had a Halloween party where we met over at the Whole Foods and everybody brought, we all decorated pumpkins and played games and played out on the playground together. It's a great excuse to get all these families together and to create that social network. So Rainbow Roundup is a fantastic organization.
Yeah, and I'm part of that Rainbow Roundup also, and went to a swimming party this summer. It's just great to be around so many other kids who have same-sex parents. It's really awesome.
Kimberly does a fantastic job on the organization.
I would think it would be great for the kids to understand that their family is not peculiar. It's not
absolutely
necessarily out of the ordinary.
That's a big part of it. And it's also, nice to go to a place where it can be a safe space. Mm-hmm. Not that I've ever heard of anybody going to out in the general public and having any issues, but I mean, it could happen, but it's nice to have a safe space.
Mm-hmm. For kids and adults.
For kids and adults, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so we were talking a little bit before the show. Joe and Jason are parents. Of course, Laurent, God, we've heard about your family.
over and over.
And what Josh and I learned, being the not parents, right. And Patty would be right here with us on that one, is just how much they don't know. Okay, so Joe and Jason, you had two boys, and they're half brothers.
Correct.
And you tried to have
medically speaking.
Yes, we don't usually bring that out at the beginning, but yes, we have twin boys.
They have twin boys. But I want to talk about
and they're
what
so
were so
stinking cute.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Put a picture up against the mic.
but what I wanted to ask was, and we'll just throw this out there because we didn't really come up. Well, I guess we did kind of come up with an answer. You were trying to have a third one. It was from frozen embryos that came from the same litter? Is that the right word?
Batch.
Batch
is probably a better word.
They're not puppies. They're not kittens.
Josh, help me on this. Yeah, stand behind me here.
Excuse, David.
So from the same batch, you had eggs fertilized, and your eggs came from one woman and were implanted in another woman. So the two eggs from your two boys were implanted in the woman, but coming from the same batch that were fertilized at the same time, if you had had that third child, what we were talking about is, would they be triplets even though they have different birthdays and they're born different years?
I would say they're not.
Because?
They're born at different times. They're not being carried together.
True. And also, they're not fraternal twins.
Right.
So they're individual embryos, and they are, although conception was at the same time, birth dates are different, and they're not fraternal. I don't know, I'm not a doctor.
Here's the only way that they would be considered, I think, technically triplets. If they had one egg and that egg split three different ways, they only implanted two. Years later, they implanted the third. Then, yeah, those would be triplets.
I don't know if that could even happen though, because I think they're in embryonic sacs too. And this is all getting too detailed.
that's true.
I don't think you can even.
But they,
I don't know if you
they
can
split
do that.
After
they split
the implantation. They don't split in the lab.
I don't know. Do they not?
I don't know. You're above my pay grade.
Yeah.
It depends on when you transfer them, because we transferred at day six, so they grew for 6 days.
Yeah, they probably will split by then.
Yeah, that'd be my guess. Mm.
Yeah, I don't know how soon twins or triplets or quadruplets split.
Mm-hmm.
I have one, so I don't know.
Although we have talked to a surrogate before that they transferred two embryos, mm-hmm. and one of those embryos did split in the womb after
implantation.
So it could happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you could end up with actually more than you implanted.
You could.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So you guys are married. You guys marry where?
Legally married in D.C. And I say legally because then we had a religious ceremony here with all of our friends and family. We got all the paperwork done in D.C. Prior, a lot of that was we were going to get married anyways, of course. But it kind of coincided with the surrogacy. We wanted to make sure we were married before having kids.
So you didn't want a shotgun.
It kind of was. Actually, if you look at the timing of everything, they were our honeymoon babies, because they were the transfer and the actual news of that we were pregnant was on our honeymoon.
Oh, wow.
So they really were.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So you got married.
Wow. Prior to
prior to marriage equality.
Correct.
Yeah. Nationwide.
Correct. We got married in D.C. when it was legal in D.C., but not in Texas.
Gotcha.
D.C. was the third jurisdiction, I think, after.
They were definitely one of the top.
Massachusetts and Iowa. I think then came D.C.
I don't know. It definitely one of the top five.
Okay, so. Same thing, you did the same thing, but you had to go to a different country.
Yes, we got married in Canada. but she didn't come till, oh God, a little over a year and a half later.
But you were talking about her already.
Oh yeah, well, we talked about her.
On the first
date. On the first date.
Okay, so when did the two of you talk about
when did you guys being did parents? Discuss you wanted kids?
First
date or so, probably.
First couple days. Well, we were friends, and we kind of ran in the same circle for a while before we started dating, but we've been together 7 years. I would say pretty much from the onset of dating, we were talking about kids.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
It's one of those, you don't want to waste your time. Like, if he doesn't want kids, like, and I
exactly.
do, right?
Exactly. That's why I don't understand. Well, no, I'm not. I meet couples all the time, especially straight ones, where one party doesn't want kids and they don't realize this till like 3 or 4 years after they got married. I'm like, guys didn't talk about that from get-go? We talked about it on the first date.
I think in gay couples, you don't talk about it, or if you do talk about it, it's because you do want kids, because I think still the assumption is you're not going to have kids. Maybe that's not the assumption
probably.
Anymore.
Yeah, and if you're straight, you're probably going to have kids.
And so you should talk about not wanting them. It's the default.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So we have a different default there.
Traditional assumption of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm doing wrong on dates. I'm immediately saying no kids.
You gotta say you want kids. That's too funny.
And I just say, I'm too old for kids.
Never.
I think that's changed, though. I think what our generation, because a lot of our friends are married with kids, are planning kids or in the process of having kids. So, I mean, I would think, you know, the LGBT community that's in their 20s, I mean, they see the 30s and 40s and 50s crowds having kids, and it's a reality that can be achieved. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I don't know if they're thinking about it now versus not thinking about it at all.
Yeah, and let's talk about that a little bit more. We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis. Jason Hanna and Joe Riggs are our guests. They are the two people who've put together the Teddy Bear Party, along with the whole crew that you have that helps you with that. But it was their original idea. And next Saturday night is the 7th annual Teddy Bear Party at the Hall of State. We'll be back with more, talking more about the party right after this.
This is Rollins Gelland, and I'm listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3, and darn glad to be doing it.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis, and our guests are Jason Hanna and Joe Riggs. They are with the Teddy Bear Party. We were talking before the show how much they've aged. Of course, you and I have not, Laurent, which is very good.
Fabulous.
You know, one way to keep yourselves from aging, I did a video for as part of the black tie presentation for Brian's award. I do not go on stage with gray hair. And so I hadn't taken care of that before the event, and so they had to Photoshop my hair because I wasn't going to be on camera like that either. So there are ways.
So if we show up to Teddy Bear, we all have dark black hair. You know why?
That you need somebody who's better with hair color than giving you dark black hair. You're gay.
No, a hairdresser.
Exactly.
Jeez.
By default.
By default. By default. Just like by default. Okay, so Laurent, you talked with Danny about having kids first date.
First date, yeah.
Okay, God, would that have been awkward?
It wasn't awkward.
When I was dating. You talked about it.
First date or two.
First date or two, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and how LGBT couples have kids, I guess, has changed tremendously. Because when I was in college, I'd talk about, oh, well, maybe someday I'll adopt. And that wasn't unreasonable at the time. And then I got into my 30s, and it was, yeah, maybe someday I'll adopt. And then I got into my late 30s, and it was, yeah, I'm getting too old to adopt. And then now that I'm in my extremely late 30s, I'm way past the point where I'd want to adopt. But the default was that you weren't going to have kids unless you were married first to an opposite sex partner, had kids, and kept them. You're saying how many of your friends have kids?
I would say at least 10 to 15 families that we know and talk to on a regular basis.
And Rainbow Roundup is made up of over 1,000 people?
It is.
Group, something like that.
Plug for Rainbow Roundup. If you're dad couple, looking for some other dad couples, please contact them. Every time we go to an event, it's mostly moms right now, but they would love to see more dads.
Josh, I know you and I on this issue are both right, and that would be best. Teddy Bear Party is coming up. That you started 7 years ago to collect teddy bears for Children's Hospital because every kid who's having a major procedure of any sort gets a teddy bear from them to help get them through the procedure, the chemotherapy, the whatever's going on. Okay, go ahead.
So when you guys officially made, you know, like, this is grown, this is an official thing now, how did you choose Children's Hospital, and were they receptive to you all?
Definitely, from the get-go. So the initial three charities that were selected were based upon what my mom believed in, and that was children equality, and families. Mm-hmm. And so that's why the Family Equality Council, the Equality Texas, as well as Stand Up to Cancer, and then the children's aspect. Those were the founding principles that really guided the beneficiaries. But from the beginning, Children's has been extremely receptive, extremely grateful. They send us a letter every year thanking us for the donation. It's actually, I believe it's one of the largest donations that they receive on an annual basis.
Yeah, we need to change that. It needs to be the largest.
It is. And this year, unfortunately, my cousin Mitch and his husband work for Children's.
Oh, awesome.
So we have a direct tie into the hospital. But this year, several of their executives are attending Children's. So it's really become a big fundraising event for Children's, mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah. And they're very leading edge, too. They also have the Genesis Clinic there, which is for
transgender. That's right.
Yeah, for transgenders. Okay, so mm-hmm. you've heard of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So talk a little bit about that, about what you know about it.
I know just a little bit about it as far as it's for transgender kids. So and it's a... I guess it's a really cutting-edge program to have.
There are three, or there were when they opened about a year ago. There were only three in the country.
Yeah. And actually, that doctor that leads that clinic is, I think she's attending the party this year as well.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah, it's they're very leading edge, and it's very exciting to be partnering with them. Yeah.
You know, again, going back to my daughter, she was hospitalized at Children's when she was about 12 months old. And I remember at one point, the nurse came in, and Danny had gone to the restroom. Now, we never mentioned our status as far as married, not married, partner, boyfriends, whatever. She just came and she goes, "Oh, where'd your husband go?" And I just kind of went, "Oh, he went to the restroom." I'm like, "How did you know we were married?" And she goes, "Oh, I just kind of assumed you were." And it was just like, it was no big deal. You two are together, you have a kid, I'm assuming you're married. And she was correct, but we never told her that.
Well, and that was before marriage equality in Texas.
Way before marriage equality. So I just thought it just made me feel so more relaxed and like, okay, they really are accepting here. Mm-hmm. It's a great place.
Yeah.
the party has moved to Fair Park this year, into a very historic building. And historic in the gay community. I'll tell you why in a minute. But last year it was at an event venue on Cedar Springs. Tell us about how the party went from just a house party to an event venue and now to the Hall of State, which is it's my favorite building in Dallas.
So the first couple years, like I said, it was a house party, and I hosted it in my little townhouse. And the first year we had 75 people attend. That was just a tree decorating. And then the second year, I was like, everybody's coming together at Christmas. There's got to be a reason. And so the second year, I made it a Toys for Tots drive, and I had about 150 people at my house. And then going
and how many tots?
Actually, we. Tots.
Or twinks.
Or twinks. Probably quite a few of both. And so going into the third year, like I said, my mom had just gotten diagnosed. And so it changed, the concept changed of the event. And then once we got to about 200 RSVPs, I'm like, there's no way I'm doing this in my house. So fortunately, the company I work for donated a space in one of our buildings downtown, and that was the first year that we had taken it to an outside venue. And then that year we had 225 people or so. And then just every year, year over year, word of mouth gets around, and it's just grown to where we average probably 550 to 600 people every year now. So it's taken on a life of its own.
So awesome. Went to an event venue on Cedar Springs right up at Mockingbird, and you moved it to Hall Estate. Tell us about that move.
You know, it's one of those that the recommendation for that space came to us, and then I went and toured it with Icon Productions, Rick Gantley, who's producing Teddy Bear this year, and absolutely fell in love with the venue. Like it, like you said, it's a historical venue. The architecture is incredible, and we think it's going to play very well for the DJs as well as our guest performer this year.
Yeah, we're taking it up a level this year, too. We've got the Perry Twins that are the DJs, and then we've got Christine W. coming in.
Awesome.
And so she's going to perform later in the evening, but I didn't know this, but she's the Billboard. She was named one of the top three dance artists of the decade behind Madonna and Beyonce. So she's a pretty big name. Mm-hmm. So really excited, and hopefully that'll draw.
Not that big a name. It's only one letter. But I guess Beyonce's even shorter. So we'll give it to her.
But that's an excellent point, because typically Teddy Bear is from like 8 to 12. So we kind of have our rush between like 9 to 11, and then most people kind of scatter out to go to back to the Boulevard, the Strip, mm-hmm. go to Roundup, finish out the night. And so this year we wanted to change it and keep it more of a destination. So Teddy Bear starts at 8, and this year we're taking it until 1 a.m. And then Christine W. goes on 11. So once she goes on, she does her performance with her dancers, then we'll slowly transition it into more of a dance vibe. That'll go till 1 a.m. this year.
Which means we need a lot more alcohol. Because it is open bar. And
Vector.
Yeah, Vector is our bar sponsor this year, providing the alcohol. So, but in the past, we have run into issues where we run out of alcohol. It's a good time.
Okay, so Laurent, you've had parties, right? You have? Uh-huh. Okay, so they're talking about things like they have a producer. Do you have a producer at your parties?
I'm the producer.
Yeah, okay. And bringing in talent from out of town. You do that, yeah?
Actually, we let the guests be the talent.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. That works.
Yeah. I mean, here's what's interesting about, you know, it's growing so big and you have, you know, actually needed another venue. Yeah, more and more gay couples or just even gay individuals are having kids, but by and large, most of the community, gay individuals do not have a child. So, but you're having so many come for the purpose of a kid, that's really interesting and great, because I think a lot of people wouldn't expect that from the gay community, because they typically don't have kids.
And see, there's where I disagree with you. I think we've always been the best uncles and aunts, and we've been the
True.
Best. Yeah.
And very good point. I agree.
I mean, I don't know how many kids I have driven their parents crazy with the drum sets I've gotten them, because I feel every young child needs.
Same with us. Mm-hmm. Way before Gabrielle was born, Lord, you know, Danny is a huge family. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't tell you how many kids we have provided for with birthdays and Christmases all throughout the years. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think we're very protective of mm-hmm. our friends' kids, even. Yeah. They're straight friends, but if that kid is a kid that we know, don't even think about doing anything that's going to hurt that kid ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've had a discussion with a parent, their kid's being bullied, and straight parents too, their kid's being bullied. Well, do you want me to walk into that school? And if the principal won't do anything, I'll go to the school board.
Yeah.
Because, you know, but you get to know people, and we're not putting up with that.
Right.
It's okay. We'll take care of it. No, not okay.
Yeah. But I think we know that. But I think some people on the outside may not mm-hmm. realize that, you know, gays are very much still concerned about children, even though if we don't have ones of our own.
Mm-hmm. And actually, you're raising a great point. One of the organizations that's one of our beneficiaries is the Family Equality Council, who does an amazing job on bringing and educating the public on, mm-hmm. hey, we've got LGBT families that need mm-hmm. support. and they need all the help that straight families have too.
Absolutely.
And raising awareness. So they're one of our. They actually when we were going through our surrogacy and our adoption order was initially denied by a judge. The Family Equality Council is one of the organizations that stepped up and helped us navigate that. So,
gotcha.
Amazing organization. That's one of our primary beneficiaries this year. Well, actually, in the past, I think, every
since,
year.
Since the onset.
So, you know, so being a parent, the fact that this is raising, not money, but the teddy bears for kids, when I first heard that, it never occurred to me that that wasn't an obvious thing for us to be doing in our community. It just seemed like a natural, and it was not until I even thought it through that I'm thinking, okay, we don't have our own kids, but we take care of the kids in the community. I mean, we're the first ones to say it's always everybody else, conservatives, who hate all taxes. Oh, we shouldn't be paying, you know, shouldn't you be arguing against school taxes? You don't have kids. No, I want my friends' kids to be, what do you call it, literate. I want to have neighbors who are not, what do you call them, idiots.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And your kids are three. Are they part of this handing out the teddy bears?
Actually, they are. So last year during the setup, and obviously they don't come to the event, but during the setup of the event, we took them there and they got to run in the venue and play in the venue and do the whole step and repeat. And it was
enjoy the open bar.
All that apple juice.
But then the following Sunday morning, like, they went with us to the venue. They helped us load the teddy bears and then caravan to Children's. And awesome. They were carrying in teddy bears along with all the adults as well. So it's interesting because we've bought teddy bears already for them. Mm-hmm. Well, not for them, but for the event. Mm-hmm. And so Lucas has a panda bear that he's just fallen in love with. And we're like, you know, that's going to be donated to Children's for other children that don't have teddy bears. And he's like, okay, he gets it. Like, I'm going to give this to another child.
Right.
So it's creating that from the onset. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, they buy into it very well.
And you said one of yours had been in Children's Hospital.
Yeah. Went ahead a minor outpatient procedure, but every child that goes through there, I mean, he still was sedated, so he woke up and he had had that stuffed animal, and it's become basically part of the family. It's still, and actually, it's what's funny is his brother ended up sort of adopting it, and now that is his favorite animal that he has to have to sleep with every night.
Aww.
So
you know, and I get that because I bet he associates that animal who came home from the hospital with as he's the one who saved him.
Maybe so. I wouldn't put it past him. Mm-hmm. Like, the bond is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If somebody wants to go to Teddy Bear Party, it's teddybearparty.org. How much is admission? We didn't talk about that at all because we are raising teddy bears and money.
Yeah, it's a combination of both. It's $50 in advance, and then on the day of the event, it's $75 at the door. But I mean, just to note that $50, it's your admission into the event. It's an open vodka bar for the entire evening, sponsored by Vector Vodka. We have a champagne bar. We've got complimentary valet, and obviously we've got the Perry Twins providing music throughout the entire evening, and then Christine W going on at 11. So really, $50 is an entire evening full of entertainment and vodka.
And it's going to a great cause.
And it's going to a great cause. And it is all, I think one more point to add is 100% of your donation is going directly to the beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
This is sponsored.
I'm sorry?
The party is sponsored.
Correct, yeah. 100% of the party is underwritten by the founders as well as all of our corporate sponsors. And I would love to go through them at some point to recognize each one. But they are the ones that allow us to give 100% of ticket sales directly to the beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so at the beginning of this segment, I said having it at Hall Estate is really historic in the LGBT community. 1979, some of us old people remember that. In 1979, a new event called Razzle Dazzle Dallas started.
Oh.
And the first Razzle was held at the Hall Estate. And when they planned to have it there, they knew that you know, the community wasn't organized. Cedar Springs, the first store, the first gay store on Cedar Springs was Union Jack. It opened there in 1975. So the gay community in Oaklawn was new. So this group of, I don't know if you'd even call them activists yet, because we hadn't had AIDS, but I guess they were activists, got together. They decided to put on this big party called Razzle Dazzle Dallas, because by then, you know, Stonewall was 1969. This is 10 years later. It became common to have some kind of celebration in June. So they hired the Hall of State, and they had no idea if anybody would come. They knew it could be just this big, expensive bust that they were going to have, or it could be a success. And it was a big success. The the Dallas Summer Musical show that week was a show called Timbuktu, which starred Eartha Kitt. Mm-hmm. So all of her chorus boys heard about this party. Mm-hmm. They brought her, and they performed songs from the show.
Oh, how awesome.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, and that was the first Razzle Dazzle Dallas. So,
wow,
historic
venue.
You've
never told me that about Razzle Dazzle.
Yeah.
Because we used to go to it all the time.
Yeah.
That's like the weekly show.
Yeah, but that's how it got its start. And it ended just a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, parties and events have their lifespan. Yours is just getting going, really. It's a great venue. And my favorite thing is the Diego Rivera murals. The only other murals by Diego Rivera that are on that scale are in Rockefeller Center in New York. So it's just a great building. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis. Our guests are Jason Hanna and Joe Riggs. They are the founders of the Teddy Bear Party, which is next Saturday at the Hall of State. And we'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Valetta Lil, and I listen to Lambda Weekly. I hope that you will, too.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis, and Jason Hanna, Joe Riggs are our guests. They are the founders of the Teddy Bear Party. Laron, you were just asking a question that
I wanted to know where you guys really, sounds like you're one of a kind. Do you know of any other organizations that donate teddy bears for Christmas or anything else?
I don't know of any specific organizations that do it. I know the Teddy Roosevelt organization, I know that they collect teddy bears, but I don't know if there's an actual event that they put on every year versus just kind of an annual ongoing fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you know of anybody, I'm not sure.
Hey, that makes you guys all the more special.
Mm-hmm. So have you heard from groups around the country? Because that's what normally happens. We start things here in Dallas,
yeah.
And, you know, it becomes the Black Tie Dinner, which there are 50 of them around the country now. Ours was the first. Or Victory Fund, which started here and moved to Washington. And, well, actually started here kind of, but was meant to be based in Washington and, you know, became nationwide. You know, just all kinds of things like that that we started. You call Washington, like HRC, and say, you know, we're trying to start an organization that does such and such, and they say, ugh, call Dallas. You know, and the shorthand for that was after Brian died, two of us were talking, and we were talking about we need an LGBT grief group, and or this other person whose husband died 2 weeks before Brian said, you know, is there an LGBT grief group? And I said, oh, let's do the Dallas thing.
So any plans to maybe expand it?
There's been some discussions of possibilities with Family Equality Council and some other organizations, because it has resonated here in Dallas. So it's a good possibility. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, and Family Equality Council's CEO, Stan, is actually attending this year's event. So we're very excited to have him in town for the event this year.
Let's talk a little bit about Family Equality Council. What do they actually do as opposed to, you know, HRC is the main lobbyist for overall LGBT issues. Family Equality Council has its niche. So what types of things do they do?
They advocate for the same protections for LGBT families as opposite sex families. And when marriage equality was going before the Supreme Court, they submitted a
amicus briefs.
Yeah. Amicus brief that was instrumental in terms of the voices of the children of LGBT families and how critical they are, but yet often unheard. So their amicus brief was heard during that, which I would say that played a significant part in bringing to life true same-sex families.
It was cited several times in the decision itself. It was very influential. So
you know,
that's one example of
again. Not having kids, but don't mess with our kids.
Yeah. Right.
Because anybody can understand that, that these are kids. I don't care what you think of their parents. These are kids.
Exactly.
You know, they don't deserve your bigotry. Exactly. Quality Texas, they've been on the show a number of times. They work on a statewide basis. They're one of your beneficiaries. Trevor, and all of these have been on our show, I think, except for Family Equality Council.
We need to change that.
We need to change that. were they a number of years ago?
Because they came on right after.
A number of years ago. Trevor Project. They opened an office here locally this year, and they did that because more calls go to Trevor Project from here than anywhere else. Can you tell us a little bit about Trevor? I know you're not spokespeople for the organization, but as people who are donating to them, why did this one strike a chord with you?
Because they also provide valuable resources to young people nationwide that may not be able to have another source to turn to. So, again, it goes back to our youth and making sure that our youth are taken care of. Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know, if they have never heard of Trevor Project, it is a
hotline.
It's a hotline, it's a prevention service for suicide. And because LGBT youth make up the largest amount of suicides in the country, even though they only make up a very small percentage of all youth. So
I would imagine that a lot of their calls are not even suicide related, but kids who are making the call to Trevor early enough so that they don't even get to that point.
Well, yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
a voice to lean on.
Right.
Yeah, when you don't have a supportive family, you don't go to a supportive church, your school is not being supportive at all. You know, we're kind of in a bubble here in Dallas where just about every school that where the kids have requested one, there's a Gay Straight Alliance, there are,
right.
you know, supportive teachers in the schools. That doesn't happen everywhere. You live in Garland.
I live in Garland. You guys live in Plano. And I belong to a couple of gay dad groups on Facebook, and you know they're always surprised when people identify or tell that, hey, I live in Dallas or anywhere in Texas, and there's, you know, some of the people that live up north or in California, that there's so many gay dads here in Texas. I'm like, yeah, we're here.
The number one city for gay parents is San Antonio.
Yeah,
number one in the country.
Yeah, it is. But I think it's just that, oh my God, Texas, so red. They probably have very few gay people, let alone gay parents. Mm-hmm. So that's not true. But I did want to ask, and I'm curious of other parent gay LGBT parents in Texas. Have your experiences been so far, especially when the kids go to school? And yours are right at the beginning in preschool. How's it been so far with the administration?
Schools have been fantastic. We've had it is usually one of our. If it's not the first, it becomes a topic of conversation just to confirm, because we want to be where our kids are.
Absolutely. Good for you.
Loved. And so far, and we've actually been interviewing some other schools too, and all of them have been very accepting.
Good for you.
I think almost all of them have said that they have or have had LGBT parents already go through their school. So
awesome.
And I would just add too, I mean, the administration in the school has been incredible. And the only reason why we're looking at another school is because we're moving a little bit further north, so we're trying to balance that out. But even with that being said, all of the parents and their classes hasn't been a blink of an eye in terms of, oh, it's a gay family. They're invited to all the birthday parties. Mm-hmm. We go to the birthday parties as a family with all the other classmates. And so I have not felt not accepted Let's go. At any event.
And Lauren, I'm joking about you living in Garland because you have not had any problems.
No.
But particularly school, and the reason why I keep saying good for you guys, because we've heard those stories of some LGBT parents who enrolled their children in school, and the administration, for whatever reason, did not know that this child has same-sex parents. Once they found out, the kid got kicked out. You know, we've heard that in the news a couple of times. And, you know, I'm not blaming the parents, per se, but because we are in a unique position, the onus is on us to do your homework. So, good for you for checking it out first. Lord knows I do, and will continue to do. But no, we haven't had any problems so far. As a matter of fact, you know, when she graduated out of preschool and had to go to, you know, elementary, the school that my kid goes to, she had to be accepted. And when we got the confirmation letter, I called and said, hey, I just want to let you know. And they didn't blink. They were like, yeah, that's fine. As a matter of fact, come on up to the school. We'll give you a private tour before she even starts. So,
oh, sure. They couldn't give you a tour with other parents.
I don't think they give any of them a tour. But so, yeah, it does pay to do your homework, you know, to avoid some stuff. But I think most people in education are benevolent, and they do realize, hey, this is for the kids. Regardless of what they think of the parents, like you said.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we don't get it nearly as much now, but like when the boys were infants and we were going out to restaurants, like you would have two guys show up with two babies and they'd be like, so where's the mom? And
yeah.
So it's one of those.
Or the comment is, oh, it's dad's night out. Or,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I've gotten that a couple of times. Like,
and
no.
It's never anything negative. It's just more people, and I think some people do get it and they're just trying to confirm what their suspicions are too.
Right.
So it's an opportunity for education.
It is.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think. Actually, your kids, do one of your kids looks more like you than the other? And am I right?
They're both pretty obvious. Yeah.
Actually. Okay. I was thinking one was more obvious. One was obvious.
I don't know, so
which made the other one obvious.
You know, when you told me they were fraternal twins, they look a lot alike, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
well, we kind of look alike. That's true.
Well, but right. Lauren, in your case, Gabrielle looks more like Danny, but she's biologically yours.
Right.
So, go figure.
You just never know.
And so, my question, I guess, was, they look enough like you that other people who are asking you those questions are assuming they're yours.
I don't know. I mean, if it's in public and people are curious, it's always kind of, it's typically we're at a restaurant and maybe the folks that are asking me have had a glass of wine or two. And so
usually margaritas. It's usually where it is, actually.
Strong stuff.
I don't know if they're questioning. I don't know. I think it's just more of a curiosity of like, oh, dad's not out and they're trying to make small talk. But then I think we always lean to trying to make, like Joe said, it's an educational opportunity that, hey, we are a family, these are our kids, and we are married. Mm-hmm. And I would say in all the instances, I don't think we've ever had a bad experience as a result of, obviously, education.
Mm-hmm. And nobody's asked where the babies came from.
Yeah, I was just about that. I was just actually about to bring that up because, again, from other dads, that's actually a sore spot for a lot of LGBT couples. Because some people, strangers, will just say, how did you get that baby? And I don't know, I think that's kind of a little invasive. I guess it's all about how it's worded and approached, because it can be a learning opportunity, but at the same time, you know, we don't go up to straight people and say, how did you get your baby?
Right.
You know, so just, you know.
Well, the answer that you should give is the stork brought her. Or I went to the baby supermarket. Just be honest. Because honesty always works. We only have a few minutes left. I want to go back to the Josh.
Yeah.
You're dying to jump in.
Well, I was just going to ask, so do you all need volunteers to help you? Obviously this week and next weekend, but even throughout the year, I mean, what do you all do or need done?
So, correct. Yeah, if there is anybody that is interested in volunteering, either this coming Friday or Saturday, there are some things that we could do some assistance with.
Setup type things.
Yeah. And so they can reach out to us through through the website or through Facebook. Mm-hmm. But even throughout the year, we've gone from just an annual event to doing quarterly events. And those quarterly events are on a much smaller scale, much more intimate. And so there's always assistance that can be utilized for those quarterly events as well.
Okay, so Teddy Bear Party at Hall of State in Fair Park next weekend. Where should people park?
We will have valet. So the valet will be complimentary. That's part
awesome.
Of your admission. So,
Thank you, Pinkies.
So drive in where? Because Hall of State's kind of in the middle. So where's the valet going to be? You can't drive up to the Hall of State. And
I would say
Joe is looking at me like I'm asking a ridiculous question. But no, I guess it's just the regular main parking lot off of.
I would say look for the four Maseratis parked out front. Thanks to Park Place Maserati for sponsoring the event. So they will be the four Maseratis out front, and that will be the main entrance. So I don't know if there's a side entrance or not.
You know, there are smaller entrances, but it's not one of those.
I just got a text. It's gate 3.
Oh, okay. Okay, I was going to say, where you go in
Thank you, listener.
Where you go in for the music hall, I think, is gate 3. But it'll be the one that's open. The others won't be open. But it's on that side of the park.
So, one more text. Turn to the right from the parking into gate 3.
Okay, there'll be somebody, I'm sure, directing. Or you'll see other cars who are going, because a lot of people are going to go to this.
Follow the bears.
And one more thing. You can donate a bear all the way up until
the day of the
bring event. Them that night.
If you miss them, we'll still take the bears. They, like we said, children needs them year-round. Mm-hmm. So
exactly. It won't go to waste.
Yeah.
Right. So it's okay if you spend your first half hour there carrying bears back and forth from your car. Everybody should bring a bear.
A teddy bear is required to get in, along with your suggested donation of $50.
But bring handfuls of bears, because there are a lot of kids. They need 3,000 a month, and that's a lot of kids that go through that hospital. So bring a bear. It's $50 in advance at teddybearparty.org and $75 at the door. What do you have planned, or don't you yet, for next year? And you said it's several smaller events.
Yeah, so we're actually already in the works of planning 2018. You know, once 2017, the day of 2017 wrapping, I'm sorry, 2016 wrapping, we were already in the process of planning 2017. So,
because this party really is that big a thing. It's not just this little party, oh yeah, there's a bar over there. It's a huge event.
Well, in order to get the key venue that you want, I mean, you need to plan a year out.
Yeah.
At a minimum. So,
and especially around this time.
Yeah.
And the reason we're able to do that is because of our sponsors. We've got Benny Keith, we've got Bud Light, the Baskin Group, and Morgan Cox. Park Place, there's a Merrill Lynch, Pinnacle, Comerica, Advanced Skin Fitness. I don't mean to turn this into an advertisement, but they're the folks. Lisa, Steve and Lisa Rudner of the Dallas Voice, all these folks are the folks that really make it possible and underwrite all costs of the party. So everybody, all donations and ticket prices go directly.
And also a shout out to our hosts, Jay, Joe Pichetti, and Tristan, Lux Tanning Spa, Vince and Brian, and Manuel, and also Chuck Boucher and his law firm that just became a host this week. So
awesome. Well, guys, we're coming up on the end of the show.
We are coming up on the end of the show. So I will see you at the party this weekend. I have two roommates who are going to come with me. My whole office is going, actually. So
awesome.
We will see you there.
And
I guess
I'd be able to get, because it falls on my daughter's birthday. So hopefully I'd be able to get over there and help you.
You need to bring her on Sunday morning.
I am. I'm going to really.
Because it is, that part of it just is a lot of fun.
She will love it. Yeah.
And, We will see you at the party next weekend, and let's hope we get twice as many bears as last year. I need to get over and wipe out the store shelves before other people do. Well,
thank you.
So,
thank you guys very much.
Good, thanks.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
We'll see you next Saturday, and then we'll see you back next year for next year's bigger event.
Yes. Sounds perfect.
Excellent.
And thank we'll you. See you next week on Lambda Weekly.